Help me. Help. I see you in help. I see you in help.
We're back this week. Seems like the world slowly descending into chaos. So I picked up Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life.
Yes!
An antidote to chaos.
That's hilarious.
White man's
finally.
White man's Bible.
Finally, we're tackling the Jordan P. I'm excited.
This is actually my first. I haven't read any of his works before or watched any of his lectures.
What is the appeal? Because I don't really understand.
Well, you don't have a great relationship with your dad, right?
It's fine.
See, that's why you don't get it. If you had a horrible relationship with your dad, Jordan Peterson is dad methadone. Like, if you need a dad, but you can't get a dad, and you just put up an old angry man that's like, clean your room. And you're like, oh, I wish I had somebody to tell me to do that. That's what Jordan Peterson is. I went through a brief phase, but then I realized the most wisdom he has is literally clean your room. Like, you're like, you're right. Your room probably should be clean. But then you get beyond that, and then he starts talking about like how he's just like, and then poor people need to just fucking, you know, and they just apply themselves.
It seems like he's just kind of like a lot of people that were like, I just got me all these insights that I never had. All these insights I never had before. And I'm like, he's kind of just like a stern Republican. He's not really.
Yeah, he does have some good points on like depression and others. Like, I'm not going to say everything he says is useless. I will say probably 60% of it is. But it's like, he has some really good points, I think, about like depression and stuff like that that would legitimately help you if you were feeling bummed out. But then he just says those points, though, are the same that like any psychiatrist would tell you. But the problem is when he starts talking about like politics, because it's like, well, that's not even his area of expertise. This guy's like no idea. He's not exactly
famous really for his self-help. I think he's famous for his self-help and how it goes against kind of like PC culture.
A lot of white friends, man, they were like, this guy changed my life.
You look
him up on YouTube in the videos, it's like a 45-minute video that's like, Jordan Peterson destroys cultural Marxism. And I was like, this is fucking insane.
Yeah, but
this
if you like watch like his depression rant. Videos, they're pretty good.
45-minute rant about transgender people is insane.
No, insanity. He doesn't have a 45-minute rant about transgender. Listen, he has plenty of ridiculous things that I'll legitimately criticize about, but there's also times where I've been like, oh, he has talks about why you shouldn't commit suicide, which would probably save people's lives. So I'm not going to sit here and be like, everything he says is worthless.
I didn't mean what he says is worthless.
But for the past year, I learned that he was in Russia for like they put him in a medically induced coma.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he disappeared out of the public eye for like the past year because he was addicted to painkillers.
And he could, painkillers. Yeah.
I didn't even realize.
Because that is also funny for him to be like, you need to clean your room. And I'm like, how about you stop popping fucking Percocet?
That's actually hilarious because he's the ultimate like self-discipline. Like, right? You can do it all yourself.
Barred the fuck out.
He's literally nodding out in a series. He's like, what you have to do is clean your goddamn room, apply yourself, buy my book. I need more money to buy the fire dope.
Apparently, the Russians were the only people that... I think he didn't want to go through withdrawal or something, and the Russians were the only people that were going to put him under a coma, so he didn't have to go through the withdrawal symptoms.
Pretty non-self-discipline thing to do.
Yeah, I was like, also, for somebody who talks about, like, you need to bear on the cross of chaos, it's like, all right, buddy, there's a fucking 17-year-old right now going through opiate withdrawal. Because he couldn't steal that extra bike this week.
He's dead.
So you're able to, you should totally be able to go through that as Mr. Just also you have a bunch of money, so it's like you would just sit at your house, kind of sweat, feel like you had the flu, you know. I don't know. I stopped paying attention to him, so I just appreciate. I just thought my life got better. I think the thing about it is when I listen to Jordan Peterson, it really motivated me to be someone who doesn't listen to Jordan Peterson. I'm like, you're right. I should get my shit together and turn this YouTube video off. Mm-hmm. I should immediately pause this video and start doing better things in my life.
Yeah. But I guess the book opens up with a little foreword written by, I don't know who this guy is, but he like really loved Jordan Peterson. when he describes him, he says he's a brilliant, often dazzling public speaker who was at his best riffing like a jazz artist.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he riffs like a jazz artist. I wouldn't say that. He sounds like an angry Kermit the Frog about 80% of the time. So that's not where he's coming out at.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of his lectures, so I didn't know if that...
He does have, like, just some funny, like, he'll do, like... He's mainly famous for, like, he would watch, like The Lion King and other children's movies and attribute a lot of weird, like, philosophy to that, so that's kind of...
Yeah, I kind of got that from the book. Like, one time he was talking about the patriarchy, and then he started talking about The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
And how the king of The Little Mermaid was, like, the benevolence of the patriarchy, and Ursula was like feminism throwing it down, and that's what happens, like, when you cast aside the patriarchy. It descends into like chaos, like the Little Mermaid.
I never got to that point of his teaching. I'm gonna stop that right now, I got to clean your room, quit being sad, and that's when I left the boat. We left at the right... God, that's when I paused the video.
You were preaching this motherfucker for a good 6 months.
That's when I left the video. I was like, clean your room. My room, clean as fuck. All right? My room's clean as... Sheets, ridiculous.
It's like one of Jesus's like first followers, like meeting a member of like the Catholic Church. Like, he's like, look, he was saying, wash your feet, donate to the poor. This guy's not molest kids. I'm not a part of that.
Yeah.
And I don't know what you're on.
Yeah,
and then he was talking about how Frozen, he didn't like Frozen because that was Disney pushing the propaganda that women don't need men or something.
Which is also a fine point. That's not that insane of a point. He's like, that crazy point that, you know, these other subservient, they're human beings. I don't think they necessarily need, I need them. They don't really need me.
Oh, man. He also, they spend a lot of the introduction, the guy, he's like, he spends about a couple paragraphs saying that Jordan Peterson is not a right-wing bigot.
Well, here's the thing. If you have to spend a lot of time saying someone's not a white right-wing bigot, there's definitely something there. There's not nothing.
You definitely,
I've never introduced my friend. I'm like, dude, I know what a lot of people say about him. He's not a Nazi, right? He's not a Nazi. He has a lot of things that make people think he's a Nazi, but he's totally not a Nazi.
He's definitely not. He's not on the anti side.
He's definitely not pro-Jewish per se, but he's neutral at worst. Okay.
This person isn't a literal Nazi. And I'm like, yeah, but there's not. Not really a neutral. It's either anti or this.
He's not a Nazi, but also he's not a fan of all of us showing up at his house. he wouldn't be the happiest camper.
You're in the middle. It's not really great either.
It's also not great to have like a neutral opinion towards. You'd be like, well, I'd like to hear both sides, you know?
Yeah. And then they were also describing his house. Apparently, he has his house, his bathroom, everything, all his walls are decorated floor to like ceiling with like Soviet Union paintings just to remember the effects of communism.
This guy's fucking weird, man.
He's weird. I heard someone make a really funny point once. It's like, why would you, and people don't know who Jordan Peterson is, I suggest you Google him here as talks just to know what I'm talking about, because it's like, why would you take advice from someone who sounds so miserable? Like, literally, every time he talks, he sounds like he's about to take out a gun and blow his brains out. He's a very angry, strange old man, but he's telling you how to be happy. It's like, follow your own damn advice. Smile for once.
Yeah, he really hates communism.
I mean, there's some points to be made there. I mean, but also, I want to read self-help that doesn't go into a weird diatribe. And it's like, and that's why you got to beware of the communists. And it's like, what am I doing, bro? I'm trying to not be so sad. And you're like...
Well, one of his chapters is like, always tell the truth or whatever. And he says, because a lot of little lies will eventually lead to communism.
Well, see, that's... you tell your trouble when your self-help is like, always tell the truth. And that's actually a perfect point, because I would say that's where Jordan Peterson, the first 10% of every sentence he says is right. Where he's like, always tell the truth. And I'm like... That's probably a good point. And then he's like, because that'll lead to the communist takeover of America. And you're like, what? Where'd you go?
He says a lot of little lies will eventually lead to the big lie of communism. And I was like, okay.
The big point. Yeah.
Yeah. Most of his self-help, it seems, is like Well, because the 12 rules, he explains in the foreword, comes from, he's writing like why he's writing this book or whatever. And he talks about how he once gave a Quora answer that people liked. And so that's
which is, by the way, never the reason to write a book. Is hey, I gave an answer on an internet forum that people were just murdered, right?
Yeah, like, and then, the Quora tries to present itself as like the smart Yahoo Answers.
And it's basically Yahoo Answers. Which, by the way, if you ask a question on Yahoo Answers, you're already fucked. It's already over. And when you see people on Yahoo Answers like, am I pregnant? They're like, get the abortion. That should be the only comment that's able to put it. It's like, yeah, it's done.
Quora's like kind of weird.
Quora's super weird.
I've seen people like post their Quora stats as like a something to be. They're like, yeah, I had a 99.9 percentile answer once. And I was like, okay.
They're like, that's not a thing to say in a job interview. You're like, that's not an actual. Can you imagine being in a job interview? What's the time you asked a difficult situation? Well, someone at Quora asked why they shouldn't kill themselves. And I went in and said that there are about 8 seasons of Breaking Bad that one should see before they consider shooting themselves in the face. So,
yeah. So he wrote these 12 rules on Quora. Got a lot of feedback, and so he's decided to write an expanded version of it.
You imagine telling your wife that, like, hey, I wrote a comment on an internet forum that's so great, I'm writing a book.
Right, an expanded version of a comment.
Right.
I want to turn this comment.
I'd be like, hey, why'd you write the book? And you're like, I got 20 retweets one time, and I just thought, it's time for the novel. It's time to break out the novel. It's time to take this 120 characters, throw that into 5,000.
No, and he really expanded it. This
oh, it's a big book. I've brought it for people as a joke.
It's like, it's almost like 50 plus pages per rule. I think he should have kept it to the Quora post.
Yeah. Yeah. Might as well just, why didn't you just print out the Quora post? Throw that somewhere else.
And then, yeah, because I think everything he added was not a good decision. It's a lot of like biblical analysis for some reason. Like,
I'd say,
like, really,
again, if you just boiled it down to essentially a tweet that's like, clean your room and pursue something you like with your life because that's just fundamentally more fulfilling.
It'll be,
that's the
like
end of his things.
The header will be like, clean your room, and then he'll analyze the story of Cain and Abel for like 50 pages and then be like, and that's why you should clean your room.
Yeah, no, like, maybe we should just get to the cleaning your room thing. Also, for someone who shits on communism all the time, but he's like, but you know what also is a very moral organization? The Christian religion. You know, which is just kind of a hard, kind of a weird way to go, I think.
I feel like communism and Christian, their ideology isn't that dissimilar.
Kind of similar, actually, when you get back to Jesus's action.
Oh, with like the give
yeah, help the poor people out and stuff.
Because I'm sure heaven is kind of ordered communally.
Yeah, I can imagine I would get to
heaven.
I don't think
heaven's like very venture capitalist.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get to heaven and go out to eat, and they're like, your card was declined.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, you're not gonna be in heaven and you look over and you're like, he has 3 pools, and you're like, well, he was super good. Maybe if you worked harder.
That sucks. If you get to heaven and it's like, yeah, it's paradise, no war. You still need a job though.
Yeah, you still you have to work at like a heaven startup, and you're like, we're
right. You have to have a job, but it's heaven, so you can never die. So
you like it. Drive people in Uber over to paradise. You're like, oh, so you're going over there again?
How long you been doing Uber for? 400 years.
Yeah. 400 years. Yeah, you know, I never cursed, never swore, saved money my entire life, donated to charity, and now I'm an Uber driver in heaven. So I drive Jesus around sometimes. He mainly just looks on his phone, but, you know, it's kind of, he's cool. He's polite. I get it. He's a busy guy, you know.
Yeah, so is His first rule is stand up straight with your shoulders back.
That's so far so good.
Rule number
so
one.
So far so good. I'm saying it's like so that you can punch a communist in the face is what I feel like with the rest of
it.
Stand up straight with your shoulders back and then punch your wife in the mouth for saying that she doesn't need you.
Is that a rule he invented though, or is that just like how?
Well, these aren't things he. I'm saying like the only things he's right on are things that like are
basically the headers
points.
Are good, right. And then everything in the chapter is bad.
like most of his points up front, like stand up straight, clean your room, have good health. You're like, well, that is correct, but then the reasons why are always a little weird.
Yeah. So stand up straight with your shoulders back. He opens up this talking a lot about lobster society.
The lobster metaphor is real weird.
What is lobster society?
Get into it, Cole.
Yeah, so he talks about lobsters fighting and mating and how
lobsters fight.
You know, yeah, I think all animals fight basically. But he says, you know, the more dominant a lobster is, the more it doesn't slouch, I guess. And the more times a lobster is defeated, the more times it, like, slouches. He says, if a dominant lobster is defeated...
What a non-strong animal to pick.
It's also like an animal that I see just imprisoned at a Red Lobster. I'm supposed to be like, let me follow the advice of this species.
Because
a minimum wage worker has managed to put rubber bands around their arms and throw them in a fish tank.
But he says, if a lobster is defeated, its brain will basically dissolve, and then it grows a new subordinate brain, one more appropriate to its new lowly position.
That sounds like that is not... scientifically true.
So if a lobster is defeated, it's actually so much of a loser that it grows a new loser brain. Can you imagine if that has how humans worked? Like every time you had a new brain that just was like, you got dumber and dumber every time you failed to the point where you're just drooling out of your mouth.
So they get a new lowly brain. They start slumping over. And he says, this is kind of similar to males. He doesn't really talk about women that much. It's mostly just about men.
To be fair, that is mostly the people that read his book.
I think it's because any woman that was hanging out with him and he started talking, I'm like, yeah, I'm done with this shit.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Well, that reminds me of the mighty lobster. And you're like, I think I'm done.
Yeah, he says, if you slump around with the same bearing that characterizes a defeated lobster, people will assign you a lower status and they'll give you a low dominance number. And he says, then your brain, much like a lobster, will not produce as much serotonin. This will make you less happy and more anxious and sad. He says, if you stand up straight with your shoulders back, it is to accept the terrible responsibility of life with eyes wide open. It means deciding to voluntarily transform the chaos of potential into the realities of habitual order. It means adopting the burden of self-conscious vulnerability. To stand up straight with your shoulders back means building the ark that protects the world from the flood, guiding your people through the desert after they have escaped tyranny.
The thing is, if you told that to a kid as a reason why you should stand up straight, your kid would never stand up straight. If you told that to your kid, like, face the responsibility of life.
I had bad posture when I was a kid, and I thought it looked ugly, so I fixed it.
The sentence should be, stand up straight, because you'll look better. That's it. You look better. People think you look ugly. You look stupid. You look dumb. If you're slouching, people think you're dumb, because you look dumb. That's just what it is.
It's also bad for your back.
Physically bad for your back. You don't need to metaphorically lead your people, but you will need to walk when you're 56, and it will be harder because you've been slouching like an idiot for half your life.
You want to be able to medically lead yourself to the fridge,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I looked a little bit. I think his daughter's even worse than him. His daughter. Do you know the diet that his daughter came up with?
Well, they have an autoimmune disease.
Well, she came up with something called the lion diet, which is, she says, it's just beef, water, and salt.
That will kill you.
But they literally have like this immune disease where they can't. They have a very special health situation.
But she prescribes it to everyone. She sells it. That's her thing.
I know, but the reason is because it helped her personally.
That will kill people.
He follows his daughter's diet, which I feel like...
Well, because they have an autoimmune disease, which also...
He doesn't.
Yes, he does.
I'm sorry, but... What disease do you have where the doctor's like, you need to eat nothing but beef, water, and salt, and that will help? There's no disease.
No, there's some truth to like keto helps certain people, like an autoimmune disease.
Beef, water, salt.
She literally said no medical doctor would prescribe this diet. Because there's no medical backing behind it.
Oh, I don't think most people should do it. Should Jordan Peterson and his weird daughter? Sure. You know? Because he has an autoimmune disease, which that...
You keep saying autoimmune disease.
He does.
Like,
you can look it up.
Shit any less ridiculous.
You could look it up. He does have it. He, like, couldn't sleep for, like, a month. He, like, has a legitimate health problem that I don't think most people have followed.
But doctors, that's not a prescription for that autoimmune disease.
There are certain problems that people have that they don't have, like, actual cures for.
It's kind of hilarious to me that every week... He will shit on any other health tip. You bring up Jordan Peterson, he's like, he has an autoimmune disease.
Okay, no, you don't I'm just understand. Saying, because there's some people that shit on the pod because Cole doesn't know
what's
certain
driven friends. Him to the point that he's living. You don't understand his struggles.
Well, I'm just saying, you're not educated about it, so people listen. They'll be like, well, Cole's wrong here.
What's the
podcast
for,
looks dumb.
What people?
What's, what's the reason for cutting chicken out of the diet?
I'm not his publicist. I just know he's an autoimmune disease, bro.
God damn it.
That chicken is...
I'm watching someone in real time, like destroy the logic of their own brain. Like, your own logic is trying to fight.
I'm just saying, bro. The
2% of your brain that is still a fan is just waging war against the rest of your brain cell.
I'm not going to say, it's kind of lazy to just 100% be like, everything about this guy sucks, to not just kind of be like, well, he does have an auto disease.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see you make this argument for Deepak Chopra.
I did, though.
I didn't see you make this argument for Marianne Williamson. I didn't see you make this argument for anybody else. But suddenly, Mr. Peterson has to have a level of doubt.
Listen, I'll make fun of what the man says, but he has an autoimmune disease. That's all.
you say autoimmune disease one more fucking time.
Are you sure he had one? I know his daughter had one.
Jordan Peterson?
Yeah, his daughter had an autoimmune disease. I don't think he ever did.
No, Jordan Peterson. You could Google it.
Let's
right
move
now.
On from the autoimmune
disease. He has an autoimmune disease.
What is he a doctor in?
So this is what Jordan Peterson said. He said he has an undiagnosed autoimmune disease.
Undiagnosed, isn't
it? Yeah, so he says he himself has... He says it's a mystery what's happening to him after he went on this
diet.
It's
a mystery because it's undiagnosed.
Yeah.
Because he didn't go to a doctor.
Also, he lives in Canada, so that means he can go to a doctor at any point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, we'll keep going. Keep trucking. We'll see what the rest of the podcast.
Even the people on the Jordan Peterson subreddit are skeptical of his autoimmune disease and his diet.
Maybe he mistakes autoimmune disease for just being high in opiates. And he's like, I'm sweaty all the time and I'm really tired. And it's like, yeah, because you're snorting heroin. Because it's a weird disease where if I don't fucking take 30 Percocet a day, I break out in sweats. And I don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah. And then he starts going into... what he describes as chaos versus order, because you know his book's about an antidote to chaos, and he says order is symbolically masculinity, well, chaos is
again,
symbolically
you've lost the starship. Like, it really is like you know that that's song great. Where it's just like, hey, hello to Mr. like, where they're like, he's you're out in outer space, like Pink Floyd's on whatever, he's out in
the
outer
David
space.
Bowie song.
Yeah like He's
ground
he's in
control
deep space,
to Major
yeah, yeah.
Tom. That
you
one.
Need a ground control to. We've lost Jordan Peterson. It's like the second he's just like, stand up straight, clean your room. We're like, okay, we hear him. And then he's just, he gets into like, and then order's masculinity. And we're like, okay.
What's the second part? Is that chaos is feminine?
Yeah, well, he says order is masculinity because throughout history, men have been the builders of towns and cities.
which is,
I'm going to bring that up in the next argument.
Yeah.
My girlfriend's angry about something. I'm like, you know,
I'm just saying, like,
chaotic, which is a very feminine thing.
That's
to
great.
Do.
But who built the pyramids? Was it you? I think you were sitting there bitching at the people bringing all the stones. It wasn't aliens. It was fucking men.
And so, chaos is feminine because.
To be fair, if you would have told me every time we could have a breakup, you said chaos is feminine, I would have been like, yeah. Yeah, and thy name is Tori Chafee. So
his reasoning is not much better than that. He says women are chaos because they're
so far so good.
so far sound because it's the crushing force of sexual selection, and women are choosy maters. And I guess
wait,
this
so women
is...
are chaos because they don't always want to fuck you. Right, is that literally what he just said?
Yeah, he
women
says,
are chaos most... because sometimes they say no.
Crushing force of sexual selection. What is a fucking 4chan comment?
Okay. From here on, for the rest of the sexual podcast, selection. I take back every comment.
An incel, like a title of like an incel manifesto. The crushing force of sexual selection are the life.
He says. He says most men do not meet female human standards. I don't know why he says female human
most
standards.
Most men who follow his subreddit, sure. Most men who follow the subreddit. What are female humans? You mean just like
what,
a...
Yeah, what is a female human?
Just like a... Just a
yeah, instead of like a female dog or like, why a human? But they do...
I want to talk to his wife and be like, so what do you see in him? Because you know he wrote a book where he was just like, all women are hell, and said that it's hell on earth. It's like, okay, what's
he's
the
not
last...
Even,
he did you realize if your wife fucked you more, you would have never read that?
He's not even... He doesn't even have... You know, the divorce and the alimony payments to justify this.
No, he has like a wife and two kids. His writing. He has like a wife and two kids. And he's sitting there and he's just like, oh, women are chaos. His wife's like, you just never talk anymore. You sit in your room and you're on Quora all day. And he's like, oh, women are chaos. They come into your life.
Yeah, he says, it is for this reason that women on dating sites rate 85% of men as below average in attractiveness. For men, that's a direct encounter with chaos.
I think it's probably
and it occurs with devastating force every time they are turned down for a date.
It's probably because a lot of men a lot of women go on dating sites. It's like, oh, this would be a fun. A lot of men are going on dating sites. It's like, I need to fuck someone.
No. Yeah. A lot of men go on safe sites. Like, this is the last resort. This is it. Everything has failed. I'm going to go on Tinder. I'm going to take that one photo that was good 4 years ago. I'm going to throw it up there. Hopefully, everything changes after this. But yeah, I think from here on out, I'm probably going to have to. Just probably take everything good I said back because the order chaos thing is a little rough.
Did you want to use your one podcast veto edit to edit
out 10 minutes? That's a little rough. That's a little rough. The podcast, him saying that all women are chaos, I can't really.
Oh, he does have an autoimmune disease.
Yeah. He was probably sick when he wrote. To be fair, he was probably high on heroin.
His stomach probably hurt a little bit.
He's like, all women are chaos. My dealer didn't even come through today. I texted her fucking, are you good, 4 times. And
yeah, he says, women's proclivity to say no more than any other force has shaped our evolution.
Okay, that's uncomfortable. Women's proclivity to say no when chased down an alleyway.
That is horrific.
Wait, no, to say no more than any other force has shaped our evolution into the creative, industrious, upright, large brain creatures that we are.
To be fair, everything I've done creatively in my life is to get laid.
He says that's what
separates
us. To be fair,
everything in my life is a peacock dance to get laid.
It's also probably a...
Like, when you're getting laid more, aren't you, like, a little lazier?
What do you say?
Aren't you a little lazier on some level?
I am, because I don't really try, man.
But...
I was in a bar Saturday night. I was in a bar with some male friends by Saturday night. A lot of beautiful women there. I was walking up the steps to go into the bar. I had my drink in my hand. I tripped, fell, chin hit the stairs, drink splashed all over me, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna fuck.
Exactly. I'm gonna fuck. You're done. Head. No.
Okay.
It really is like...
I was single, I would have gone home blowing
A guy with a girlfriend has like reached pure enlightenment, because you're like, no, I get laid all the time. I don't care. No, you're really just like, yeah, who gives a shit?
I'm not fighting for it.
No, it's done.
I get the feeling from this passage that he views women's ability to say no like... Like, that's all they're good for. Like, men do everything just because women say no.
And I asked you if you wanted to have sex with me, okay? And you said, no. Come, what else do I have to do?
Yeah, but he says, like, that's... He doesn't say, but he implies that that's, like, the women's purpose is to say no so men do all this great stuff.
That's pretty bad.
It's not the greatest view.
That is
definitely in terms of good views, not good.
He said that's the biggest reason we're not chimpanzees is because chimpanzee females don't say no.
Wait, so his theory of evolution?
No, they don't. They just bite each other's face.
I don't think you understand how crazy what he just said is. His theory of evolution is that back in the jungles of Africa, there was an ape that just kept saying no, so humanity literally evolved, like got better. Like, fuck you, bitch! I'm gonna walk across the. I'm gonna sharpen rocks. I'm gonna learn how to hunt. I'm gonna do all like out of spite. Okay. Humanity literally evolved. Which is hilarious and quite possibly true.
You know what I'm saying? If we're being completely honest, you're an ape. It's, you know, it's 2 million years ago. We're in Africa, deep in the Congo, and we're just like, I'm not gonna fucking like, I'm gonna show this bitch.
Yeah, you're like sharp as
so
stick.
So you start Mesopotamia. that's kind of
how did they learn how to hunt with spears? It's like one guy just nothing wasn't happening. He wasn't attractive. So he just learned how to fight with cave paintings. Dude, cave paintings were totally an attempt to get laid, where it's like, yeah, I'm not really good at hunting. I just kind of like to sit back here and just kind of think about everything, you know? Where it's like, we're always stabbing the buffalo, but like, what is a buffalo? What are we? You know what I mean? That is a hilarious worldview, though, is that women are so hard to have sex with, that men literally, they went from like living in caves to airplanes solely to get laid.
His next tip is make friends with people who want the best for you. I think
that's
I feel
really
like
good,
this,
actually.
No, again, they all start out great. You're like, yeah, stand up straight, make friends with people who want good things for you. Like, I had a friend the other day. My friend last night called me at 11:55 p.m. I missed his call. Thank God. Right? And I texted him in the morning. I'm like, dude, what was going on? He's like, no, I just smoked DMT. I wanted to tell you how crazy it is. I'm like, you're about to call me at fucking midnight? Wake me up out of my bed. I have to wake up for work. You're going to wake me up in the middle of the fucking night to tell me that you took drugs and it worked. That was the big news. That was the mind-blowing revelation you had.
Yeah. Although, this kind of reminds me when we read the 48 Laws of Power or whatever, where it's like a very... It is true that having friends that are better for you is better for you in life. But I feel like... I don't know. I don't... Friendship, for me, is something that's like different than that.
That's true. It's not like I well...
What do you mean?
It's true that, well, he's not thinking about friends as like a power game. He's not like, oh, this friend will help me in this way, and this friend will help me in this way.
But at the same time, like, I've cut people out of my life just because I'm like, oh, this guy. Well, usually also like kind of bad friends too. But if someone's just like,
yeah, if someone's like
fuck up a lot, you know what I mean? They're just like always, they're just kind of like a shitty person. Or they're just like not, maybe you don't cut people out of life, but you just stop hanging out with people as much who just aren't kind of going anywhere.
Yeah,
and
for
you're
sure.
Like this, because when I'm around you, we don't, not that you, when you hang out, you have to be doing something productive. When you hang out
but
with,
but there are some people that they're only assessing.
You're backtracking your life. You
right.
Know
yeah.
I mean?
You're
where
only
like,
especially if you're hanging out like dudes that are just like, oh, this is all we do. We just hang out here. We drink.
Do drugs and drink. And I'm like, well,
and
that's
then
not,
it's like,
I feel like you should be progressing in life constantly, right? You should be wanting your friends to progress in life constantly. And if you're like, kind of progressing and doing shit, and then your friends or whatever are like, what are you talking about? We're still doing this. Oh, you think you're too good for us? Yada, yada. It's like, yeah, you should probably leave those people, because they're just kind of, they're still
also,
stuck
I do.
In the, you know what I'm saying?
I do think I'm too good for you. Yeah. I don't say that a lot. I am better than that.
I'm constantly, you know what I mean? You're trying, the goal should be to like constantly evolve and like progress.
So you agree with Jordan Peterson?
I agree with the general sentiment that he may have touched on. That's what
so
I agree
with
on.
Jordan Peterson. I agree with you. Just say you agree with Jordan Peterson.
I'm not going to say that because 10 years from now it's going to be brought up.
Yeah. All right. So what's the summary of this quote? That's the header.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a lot about like how like the 48 laws of power that people will bring you down with their like misery and stuff.
Well, it's got true.
It is kind of
especially
true,
people like don't want to get better know. And they're always like gonna. You know what I mean?
Well, if you want friends who want the best for you, I think it's different than like if your friend's depressed or going through a hard time. Oh. That's different than like a friend that is like an active force of like,
but
they're not going
through. There's one thing for like if you're in a bad place, you rely on your friends. You know what I mean? Your friends should be there for you. They should be able to support you. But it's another thing if it's like depression or like a mental illness is one thing. But it's another thing if like if you're on drugs, you have something else that's like constantly fucking up your life. That's kind of like in your control. And I'm there for you as a friend. But then you're constantly coming to me with like, oh, no, this is fucked up and this is fucked up and I need this and I need this. And it's like, if I'm like, hey, you should try to help yourself and you right. don't, it's like, what do you want me to do? You know what I mean?
You know, this is a conversation you can say to me off pod. you know, you can just say this to my face off pod. You don't need to hold a microphone and say this right. Look me in the eye.
Blood dripping out of your nose. And you're yeah. Like, yeah, man.
Want me to, I'm
but
like literally my
I was just saying, like, why should my friendship be reserved for people that, like I don't think it's something that like people deserve, you know.
You're saying that friendship it shouldn't be like a power building exercise.
It should.
No, I just don't think it should be like I'm not saving my friendship for
but
like
it is
the 1% of people that, you know.
No, but it is like, a lot to be friends. Like it, I mean it's an effort to be friends. If you're trying to be like a good friend, it is an effort to like be open, you know what I mean? Like be right. there for someone and like be something that they can lean on and like dedicate time to this, you know what I mean?
I feel like friendship is a quality kind of like the government. Like you should, you know.
Buddy, like what the fuck you've had so little friends in your life, you had actually no idea how to come up with a relatable metaphor.
What does that mean, man?
Like you should care for everyone even if they're not making the right choices for themselves.
Yes,
even if they're,
I care,
even if
I
they're
care for you.
A negative on your personal being.
To a point, like, yeah, but there are such thing as people that are so toxic that they shouldn't cut it. You shouldn't.
You know what I'm saying? And also, sometimes it's like the best thing for you because if everyone, You know what I mean? If you're a hard drug addict, it's fucking up your personal life. It's cutting into everybody else's personal life. You're fucking with people, and then everybody cuts you out of their life. Maybe that's the wake up that you need.
That's
to
also
be like,
maybe that's the thing that ends you in a spiral and like you die.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever a wake up for someone. Yeah,
but if that was gonna happen, if that was gonna happen anyways, it's like, what are we doing? You know what I mean?
Okay, so we have different opinions on the second step. Okay, so we're somewhat divided on the second step, Cole, which I kind of agree with.
What
maybe
is
it,
wait, what is the second step again?
You should only be friends with people that want the best for you.
He's so into like the Christian philosophy and stuff.
And then we get to the prop.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know how you can reconcile that with like.
You only should be friends with people.
That's true,
because
the Christian philosophy would tell you to be like help out everybody till the end.
Like Jesus was still friends with Judas, even though he knew Judas was going to betray him.
Right. And Jesus was also like, well, these lepers don't really want the best for me. These lepers kind of want me to lose my arms helping these bastards out. So
yeah, that is kind of true.
I think that I think you could take it in certain ways, but I think people that are actively malicious actors against your life, like what if Cole?
Have you cut people out of your life who are malicious actors?
For sure, for sure. But it's just people that are just like they're genuinely. If you did better in life, it would make them uncomfortable.
Right, that kind of shit. It's like you should.
They don't like. They would prefer it if you stay where they're at or. You know, go south. They don't.
I just feel like this kind of philosophy leads to the thing, like you go to work. Let's say you start a new job. Everyone there is like friends, except for like one guy, and you know you don't even like associate with that person or talk to them because you know, like I don't know. I feel like this just like socially. Isolates people more.
I see what you're saying, but I think you could also take it in a way where it's like just wanting people to want the best for you. I think it's just saying like if you have a friend group and there are friends who are maybe it's a childhood friend, but over time they seem to be more of a negative force on your life. Like not people that are actively suffering that you're annoying, but people that are like these people kind of genuinely don't want things to go well for. Like they kind of just want things to. Go worse.
I know the logic. I know it most likely will lead to you having a better life if your friends are of a certain character and class. Right. But I don't know. I don't think it makes for a better society. But I don't think Jordan Peterson cares about a better society. I think he's all for the. Yeah. The individual.
He's very fine. Rugged. With the way
better
things
society
are
is communism.
Yeah. It'd be great if we all read his book and got inspired to like start a communist revolution. Well, yeah, this is what we want to do.
Yeah, he's basically don't be a commie with your friendship either.
So. Just the 12 steps for life, just one step, and it's don't be a commie.
His next tip, I'm not going to go through all the 12 because that's insane. But his next one is do not let your children do anything that makes you dislike them.
Wait. How are you supposed to force them to not do anything that makes you dislike them?
So his policy is a minimal necessary force.
So beat your kids?
it sounds like our drone policy.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like Bush like trying to justify the war in Afghanistan. He's like, it's not a war. It is minimum force necessary.
Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine saying that in court? Wait, so did you or did you not beat your child? Like, I used minimum necessary force because he was making a weird sound. And they asked him to stop, and then he didn't. So now he can't see out of that eye anymore. Also, your kids will probably just be... Kids are fucking annoying. Yeah. So at some point, they're going to do shit that, like, what you think you're... If you really are into your three-year-old, like, you believe in who your three-year-old is, like, as a person, that's weird. Because your three-year-old, he makes weird noises, and he, like, stares at shit. He's not even a person.
If my three-year-old starts listening to, like, Nickelback or something, I'm not going to start hitting them.
I'm definitely
going to try to discourage that. If my three-year-old has, like, shitty taste in music, I'm going to try to
discourage. What if your three-year-old, like, really just was, like, everything you hated in life? Like, he listens to, like, nothing.
I thought about that.
What if he just listens to nothing but folk music?
Weezer?
Yeah, he listens. Your three-year-old is the biggest Weezer fan that's ever lived. Your three-year-old... No, your three-year-old goes into an 18-year-old and he says, Dad, I want to drop out of school and start a Weezer cover band. How do you deal with that, Kwame? You wouldn't use minimum necessary force. You'd probably kill him. Probably shoot him in the face.
No, you follow your dream.
No, but what if his dream was to become a Weezer cover band? And at night he takes classes in learning how to become a chef at Olive Garden. Like a trifecta of things you don't believe.
I love my child no matter what.
Really?
I love my child no matter what. I love him.
Really?
Do I like him? No.
What if he just starts to become one of those people that's just like, you know, I think the most discriminated minority in the United States is the police.
He has Blue Lives Matter flags just hanging.
Yeah, that
place.
Shit. That
what
shit.
What if he, what if he played a Weezer cover band fundraiser for Blue Lives Matter?
Yeah, he talks a lot. He complains a lot about children and all his little conflicts he has with children.
I literally can't imagine
having
Jordan Peterson for a father. I think that might be one of the worst things that's ever happened.
Yeah. I don't know. He says, you know, that society produces children and that society nowadays is not producing good children. And he says, was it really a good thing, for example, to liberalize the divorce laws in the 1960s?
Yes. Not a question.
Yes, it was.
I don't
really
think
a good thing to force people to be in loveless marriages for the rest of their life. You're like, yeah. Yeah, kind of a lot. Jesus Christ.
He says, parents should come in pairs so that the father can watch the mother so she won't get worn out and do something desperate after hearing her baby wail from 11 in the evening until 5 in the morning for 30 nights in a row. So,
well, it is easier to raise a child.
Why is the baby crying from 11 p.m. until 5 a.m.?
Well, it's actually because he plays nonstop Jordan Peterson lectures. It's like nursery talk, so he's just sobbing. He's sobbing like, no!
In that sentence, he says the role of the father is to stop the mother from killing their child.
Which, I mean, I think the role of either parent is to stop,
the child from dying.
I think they both keep each other in check, because there's a moment definitely your parent wants to be like, how about we stop this?
He's saying, I'm not saying we should be mean to single mothers. many of them
That's
struggle.
A weird sentence, just out of the gate.
I'm not saying we should be mean to single mothers. Well, there's no second part of that sentence that's...
But that doesn't mean we should pretend that all family forms are equally viable. They're not, period. He says, children are damaged when they don't have the classical nuclear parent setup, and it fails to make them sharp and observant and leaves them in an unconscious and undifferentiated state. He says, I can recognize such children on the street. They are doughy and unfocused. Such children are ignored by their peers because they are not fun to play with.
Yeah, if your dad leaves you, you're going to be a fat loser that no one wants to play with. So that's why, on Tuesday, you should testify that I should have custody of you, son. Okay? How about you remember that? All right? Kids that don't have their father living in their house are fat losers, buddy. You're going to say, I didn't hit your mom at all. That's what you're going to look the judge and tell him. Okay?
And then he gets into his minimum necessary force stuff. When he tells the story about, like, his daughter was at a playground and some other kid like pushed his daughter down, and he says,
you just read him 48 stories about communism and then the kid promised to never go near his daughter again.
He said, to his great and salutary shock, I picked him bodily off the playground structure and threw him 30 feet down the field. No, I didn't. I just took my daughter somewhere else, but it would have been better for him if I had.
If you started a fight with a 7-year-old?
If you threw a 7-year-old across the football field.
And he says, hitting is a very unsophisticated word to describe the disciplinary act of a parent. If hitting accurately describes the entire range of physical force, then there'd be no difference between rain droplets and atom bombs, magnitude matters. How hard someone is hit and why they're hit cannot merely be ignored when speaking of hitting. So, he's a...
Parent of the year. So, yeah.
He's not even talking about hitting his own kid. He's talking about beating up a
6-year-old.
A child that's not his. Because they pushed your...
Yeah, that's like just how playgrounds work. You push down sometimes.
And then his next tip is set your house in perfect order before you criticize the world. I think this goes to his cleaning your room thing. But he basically says you can't make a criticism of society unless your life is perfect.
Yeah, which, absolutely not.
It was a little ridiculous.
Yeah, he says, don't blame capitalism or the inequity of your enemies. Don't reorganize the state until you have ordered your own experience. Have humility.
Until you're a millionaire, you can't make fun of the system. You got to get healthcare before you criticize the healthcare system. That's what I'm saying. Okay?
He's very against societal change at all, whether it comes in, like, recognizing diversity, changing the economical or social order. He's just very conservative, basically. I feel like for him, we evolved perfectly until the 1960s or something. And right. then
and then for most people alive, that was not the case. For literally most people alive, that was no way true.
Yeah, he said after like 1960s, for him, everything right. started going
and,
badly.
And for literally every other group of people,
things
just
got better.
Just plus. Just hot pluses. 1960. It really is like closing your eyes to like literally most of the population of Earth. You're like...
like everything was great until especially 50s, 60s, Something started changing.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
not going to say what it is because that's not politically correct. Sure, yeah, but yeah. you know what it is. yeah. Everything started going.
Everything was good. Come on.
Yeah. And then his next tip is be precise in your speech, which is was in an 80-page chapter.
yeah. So it's like, why don't you try being precise and cut a couple of these pages off?
Yeah. I actually forgot what the chapter was about and had to go back and read the header.
It says be precise in your speech. Why are you screaming about transgender people for 60 pages?
What does he mean by that, by be precise in your speech?
I mean, it means all his tips mean basically what the header is, and then he just spends, like, I forget which biblical story he went into in this, but he analyzes the Bible a lot. That's where he gets his source of, like, moral truth a lot, basically.
Right.
He says he's not even Christian either.
Right.
So I don't know why he loves the Bible so much. But he says also it's impossible for someone to be atheist, which...
It's impossible for someone to prove that God exists, so... there's a lot of truth there, so... Yeah.
Yeah. And now we're in basically the final tip. He says, do not bother children when they're skateboarding. And this tip is basically a long diatribe about the patriarchy.
That was a real turn. I didn't expect that at all.
I would think it was more like if kids are doing something,
if kids are exploring, like, let them be rebellious, and then I was like, no, don't bother them in the skateboarding, because that is a way for them to show that dominate the patriarchy, right? That's a way for them, for men, to relax, okay? And they need to. It's been a long goddamn day of being in charge of a society.
Yeah, he has a subheader in this chapter called The Patriarchy, Help or Hindrance?
If you're reading this, you're like, is this a self-help book? Because you're like, I'm depressed. And then you're like, oh, let me help you out. That. So The Patriarchy, pretty great. You know, being a man is good. Don't you hate that people don't recognize that, you know? It's just a real fucking weird thing to say. You're like, yeah, I'm just depressed. I need to get my life together. It's like, no. Women just need to stop being so outspoken. There's nothing wrong with you, per se.
He's basically like, oh, so you hate yourself? Why don't you also hate communism and women?
Yeah. No. You're hating the wrong things. You're hating you, and you should be hating women. Dude, no. Why do you hate yourself? You're not a woman. That should be the title of his book.
It's also like, what is a woman supposed to get if she reads this book? She's like, oh, I should just shut up.
You're like, oh, well, let me just start blowing a man right now. She throws down the book in a fervor, runs up to her boyfriend, just starts sucking his dick, and then that's the commercial for the book. that's actually how the book is supposed to
be. I think women, if they followed his philosophy, I guess, that he lays out here, they're supposed to be selectively choosing their mate in such a way that men work harder or something, or do better.
You know, I feel like that's just kind of what happens.
What the point is, right?
Not what the point is, but I feel like people that are cool and that kind of add to their life. So naturally,
he says, you know, they're not supposed to like go to college or do the cool things that men are doing to impress them. They're basically just there to choose the cool men.
They should just be a choosy garage.
They're just be impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because in this chapter, he starts talking about how there's more women in college than men. And he's like, who decided anyway that career is more important than love and family?
People.
Society.
You could also have those things. It's just when I get the career and family, I don't want to have to be the one that sits in the house like I'm in quarantine all day for 60 years. Or you get to go out and live a life and you come home and you're like, so what did you do? Oh, you cleaned the dishes? Cool. All right, cool.
He says that if more women than men continue to do college, it'll be seen as a woman thing, and then men won't want to go to college.
Was that a determining factor in college? You're like, I do want to go to school, but there's just a bunch of fucking women. I don't. It seems like a real sissy thing to do. I mean, it's just, I'm not really into it.
Like, that is such a like a blade. Like you try to like disguise it, like all all these truths and your philosophy and everything. You're like, look, let me lay it clear. We give women rights, we'll become women.
He says that in front of the Congress. He gets like a fucking applause break. They're like,
Look, 100. That's he was like a senator, like in like 1860. And you're like, look, we let them vote, we'll become black.
Right. Yeah. It's going to happen.
He says, even if women contributed nothing substantial to art, literature, and sciences prior to the 1960s,
Which is also, I think, inaccurate.
That's like not true. He says
the role they played raising children and working on the farms was still instrumental in raising boys and freeing up men so that humanity could propagate itself and strive forward.
We got shit to do. I can't be talking to my son about his feelings. I can't be wiping an ass. I need to go out there and do great shit. I'm a goddamn man. Okay, I go home. I fuck you. You take care of the thing I made with you by fucking you.
It's also funny. Isn't his daughter like an entrepreneur who's like done
right.
all these
things. Do you think he'd tell his daughter, be like, can you knock it off and go fuck somebody who's actually going to do something with their life and take care of his kid?
Well, he's saying that, you know, like women shouldn't really go to college because they want to accomplish things. He's saying they can accomplish things by taking care of men's children because indirectly they're allowing men to accomplish things, which right. is...
Yeah, women should just sort of be like a supplement for men. They should just sort of help men out in the same way that, like, an accessory.
Yeah, he says, it seems to me like the so-called oppression of the patriarchy was instead an imperfect attempt by men and women to free each other from disease and drudgery. And then he brings it back to the lobsters and he says, do male crustaceans oppose female crustaceans? Should their hierarchies be upended? I think he wants us to say...
Yeah. You can tell you're in a losing argument when you have to bring up crabs or lobsters. You're like, all right, let's bring this back to fucking clamps.
Is the female lobster upset? No, because it doesn't have feelings. It's a fucking lobster.
Yeah.
Because their feelings are either...
Because they're about to be thrown in a fucking pot of red lobster.
Feelings are either content or pain.
Yeah.
That's our only...
I feel like he wants us to agree with him and be like, yeah, we shouldn't upend lobster society, so why should we upend our society? You know, like, it's a very... I don't know. He's a professor. I don't know if he should be.
I think he should have a Twitter account with two tweets, and it just says "clean your room and stand up straight," and then he just leaves society. And then I think that's all the guy needs to add. And then other than that, he can just be kind of like a weird Walmart manager.
He's like kind of an idiot.
he's a little rough.
I'm sorry, but because before I was like maybe help people, but I've seen someone's quotes. This is like. Some of the stupidest shit I've heard a human.
No, it's pretty crazy.
This guy's like an active idiot.
I still don't really understand how this chapter relates to the title, but he lays out, don't like bother children when they're skateboarding. But he lays out like
and don't ever believe what women say. Let's also put that in there.
He lays out this little story, which is his ideal, I guess, society. How men should act. So he's talking about how he was at work. He was like on a blue collar like job. He says one person joined their crew. They called him Lunch Bucket because he had a fancy lunch bucket. But then he said he was not fun to be around and he couldn't take a joke. That's fatal on a work crew. After 3 days of carrying on with his ill humor, Lunch Bucket started to experience harassment. He would be working and suddenly be surrounded by 70 men, and then they would throw pebbles at him, and eventually they harassed him off the work site. And he says, this is good. This is how men enforce a code of behavior amongst themselves. Do your work, pull your weight.
Beat a man with rocks until he leaves. We're not in the Stone Ages. There's an HR department. You can't push someone into. If at my work we're like, hey, we all don't like Jeff, right? We're planning to jump him in the parking lot later. My boss wouldn't be like, well, this is how men enforce men. He'd be like, I'm suing you. I'm gonna file a lawsuit. You can't just jump me in the bathroom with a sock full of batteries because objectively I'm lame. That's not how anything works.
His last chapter. This one I kind of agreed with him on. He says, the last piece of advice. Piece of advice number 12, step 12. Pet a cat when you encounter one on the street.
Of course you agree with him. You're like 100%.
Yeah, I think this was about little joys in life, but he talked about his encounter with a cat on the street for like 5 pages. It was kind of endearing. Talked about petting his neighbor's cat named Ginger.
So all in all, if we can take away from his book, stand up straight, clean your room. Hey, pet cats. Cats are a good time. So he has like the same advice of like a 12-year-old who's killing it. It's like a Boy Scout.
Yeah. He said it makes his day when a cat accepts him and comes.
Was that a moment when you were reading that book Cole, where tears fell from your eyes? You're like, you know, I was wrong about him.
Yeah. I feel like you can't be that bad of a person if you like cats.
That's literally just arguably dumber than anything he just said.
You can be a bad person if you like dogs. I know that, but
yeah. Nobody cat fights. Nobody like gets cats together and let's fight these cats.
Right. That's mainly because they don't have the social skills necessary to do such a thing.
To fight each other?
No, just to plan a community event.
cat
yeah,
people?
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know. You were a big fan of Jordan Peterson.
I wasn't
before,
a big
Kenyon.
Fan. I would say that. I liked
preaching that moment.
I liked cleaning my room, and that's it.
I think he might be one of the most ridiculous people I've ever heard.
Yeah, no, it's wrong.
I've never read a self-help book that shit on communism so much as part of its advice.
He's like kind of insane. He's like kind of. It's not even like this guy. He's kind of an idiot.
I agree. I'm telling you, it motivated me to be someone who does listen to Jordan Peterson. Now I'm doing great. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. See you in hell.
All right, we're back. How'd it go, guys? Did it did you form order out of chaos?
Wouldn't it be crazy if we were like in suits right now? Like in suits, I'm standing up straight. I'm like, was that CPAC last week? I like joined their team.
You're at CPAC last week, you're gonna fuck around and die, man.
Yeah, coronavirus. Gonna kill you. You know how hilarious it'd be for them to be like, it's not a big deal. And you just see Trump coughing on the stand and fall, his hair flapping. He falls down to the ground.
God damn it.
Yeah.
It might be the worst thing because he would get it. Because him not taking it seriously is pretty bad. But him taking it seriously, you fucking bomb California.
Oh, you mean if Donald Trump nukes everyone with coronavirus? Donald Trump would threaten to nuke coronavirus.
Yeah. So how was the advice of this 21st century intellectual titan, Jordan Peterson?
Well, that's the thing about all of like his weird manifesto versus the actual advice, because standing up straight, cleaning your room, and petting cats, those are good things, objectively, right? You can't argue that against standing up straight. But then his reasoning is like, because women aren't people. You know what I mean? You're like, all of his reasoning, he'll just go into some diatribe about communism or about how society was the best in the 50s or about, like, you know, why white privilege isn't a thing or something. You know what I mean? Like, all of the reasons why you should do a good thing are bad, but the good thing's still a good thing. You know? You know, it's like, that's what's so weird. It's like, he's like, yeah, you should clean your room. And you're like, okay, I agree with that. It's like, so that you'll be ready to take down, you know.
Yeah, I was honestly waiting in that last chapter about petting your cat. I was like, so how are we going to go around to communism in this? Yeah. Like, how is this going to lead to men should be
did
in
he,
charge?
Yeah. Did he have a diet? I thought that was the only part where he was kind of normal.
No, that's
right?
The only part where he's like, yeah, cats are good. Cats are so universally good, he couldn't morph it into a weird point about communism or women.
Yeah. I also kind of found it, because he's all into the Bible and stuff.
Like a lot.
Yeah, but cats, I feel like cats, like, they're something that man created, right?
Cats and dogs? Yeah. Like
I feel like Christians should have problems with dog, because it's like we took something God created and was like, that's not really
how
that
just
good.
You're turning your anti-dog thing into really stretching. You're really stretching.
But we were like, that's not that good.
Cole's
dog,
like open micing his TED talk against dogs on the pod.
Some girl told me that at a party. I was at some party one time. It was very left-wing girl, and she was like, She was like, I just can't really do docs because like, it's like a man-made thing. Like it's gross. And I was like, go fuck you. Like,
what are you doing? You're on right now. You that's what annoys me about a lot of those people. It's always like fair organic trade. And I'm like, so they have no problem snorting that thing that murdered, that destabilized a continent.
Yeah, that's only Venezuelan blood going up your nose.
Right. Yeah, yeah. They have like literally no problem doing that. Man-made. It's all a man. Your society's a man. Your fucking cool hipster t-shirt was made by people like children bleeding to death in Cambodia.
You know, your dad pays for you to go to school. You're a man-made.
Right. Yeah, you're a man-made. Yeah, I mean, all in all, that's just the problem with Jordan Peterson is like the actual tips are so normal, but his actual opinions and everything are pretty horrific and insane.
Yeah, I kind of knew I disagreed with him, but
I kind of like, because I got into it when he was like at a Quip. He's like, and then you're sad because you're not anything and you need to clean your room, get a hold of yourself, make something you're proud of, chase something you like. And you see that 3-minute clip and you're like, oh, Jordan Peterson is cool. But then you go down the YouTube rabbit hole and it'll just be someone that's just like, the size of skulls determines, you know.
That's how that shit happens, man. Like my friend, a white friend of mine who was like, who got into like Ben Shapiro for like a month. And I was like, why do you like this guy? And he pulled up some clip of him like shitting on some stupid college kid, which is not that hard to do.
It's also, if you're a 30-year-old man, you should be able to win an argument with an 18-year-old. you're an adult man,
but it's some college
kid. A college student shouldn't be able to school you.
Yes, an 18-year-old like Twitter comment is not like a hard thing.
Yeah,
to
like
take
debate
down,
like Noam Chomsky.
Right, but then you like watch his other videos and he's like, and Muslims in Israel live in shit, and you're like, oh, okay, so you are just kind of like a far right.
Also, like, he's also against identity politics, but he'll make a 10-minute video about why Black Panther sucks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He made a 10-minute video about how Black Panther sucks, and I'm like, just admit this is identity politics. You know,
that's also weird. It's like you're supposed to be like this professor that's like learning pressure. Shouldn't you be like writing papers and like
after the whole transgender thing blew up, he sort of like, I think, started like an online. You want to collaborate on any of this? He started like an online.
Are you like reading? What are you doing? Are you like on YouTube or some shit?
I don't know Jordan Peterson's biography. The only thing I know about him is where he grew up because he put that in the book.
Yeah, he mentions it a lot. He's like, it's an oil town. We had to fight each other. To the point where I kind of feel like it's made up because it's always become sketchier and sketchier.
Isn't he like 65? Well, it's not that long ago.
He says he wears cowboy boots and stuff, so I think he really romanticizes.
Were there cowboys in Canada?
Yeah, he grew up in like
fucking Ontario?
Like rural Canada, I think. And he just had to like,
there were cowboys?
Up in the snow? Just weird. He's just kind of a weird, aggressive dude.
Yeah, you don't even have Mexicans. I know you don't have cowboys. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, no, I mean, but he has a huge following and he hits with a lot of, you know, he's like dad methadone. If you don't have someone in your life to yell at you and tell you to clean, you finally have it and you're like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then he like,
right,
manipulates people to his crazy opinions.
There's some dash, you know, so older dash. He's like a hint of like weird sexism in there.
Yeah, yeah. That really is. He is kind of he is what your older dad would say.
Yeah, it's some weird
rant about the Soviet Union.
Race politics and shit.
Yeah, kind of on the edge. You're a little afraid to ask him about the 60s, but he's still your dad. He wants what's best for you.
Did you guys do any of the advice this week?
No, I'm standing up straight right now, dude.
Oh, yeah. Did you notice anything when you stand up straight?
You feel better. You feel more confident. I mean, objectively.
It's good for your back.
Yeah, it's just. It is. Yeah, like you notice that you won't have scoliosis in 40 years. You stand up straight.
That is fuck, man.
I feel strong. I feel ready to take on Corona. Yeah, I mean, all of his tips do, like, if you have a cleaner room, if you're standing up straight, if you're pursuing something you like, you do feel better.
I pursued a thing I like.
Yeah. So those are good thing. If you pet a cat in the street, that might be the one tip I disagree. I don't know if you should approach cats on the street. It might be feral. It might scratch you. You might get that's kind of just bad safety. But
yeah, I approach most cats on the street. There was this really sad cat I saw one day. It was in the dumpster behind a Food for Less. And
well, how did you see into the dumpster?
It was under the dumpster.
Okay.
But it had literally the saddest eyes I've ever seen on an animal in my life.
Did you do anything? Or?
No, it was like a dumpster cat.
So why did you even? You were like, oh, it's the saddest eyes I've ever seen in my life. And then I let the life leave its eyes later that night when it starved to death. I just don't.
Sound like a white Democrat mom who like drove through Englewood. Like it was...
Oh, man, they were real bummed. I got to tell you. And it's like, so did you, does that change your mind about anything? You're like, nah. It's not going to go over there.
Yeah. Well, you can't save them all, you know.
That is also what those white Democrat moms said. Yeah, I had Baraka in there. That was one. Okay.
God damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
God. I do think a lot of like white Democrats stopped voting for Barack was like, so that's it, right? So we're good?
Like, I've done enough.
I've done, come
is
on.
This is not enough?
Yeah. Every time like a black homeless person comes up to him, they're like, no, I don't think you know. I voted for Barack Obama. It can't be right.
Oh, shit. Tom Hanks has the coronavirus.
Oh, it's a national emergency.
That's like, you might as well just tell me there's a Statue of Liberty.
Tom Hanks having the coronavirus is like, we all hope is lost. So just to get a summary, standing up straight, cleaning your room, good. Jordan Peterson, bad. That's what we've come to on the pod.
Yeah, I'd say maybe take 2 minutes, read the headers of the chapters.
Hey, read the headers, and then also the headers should be things you're doing anyway. I'd like to, yeah. You should probably be standing up straight.
You think our listeners have pretty clean rooms? Think our listeners have pretty clean rooms. Maybe they need these tips.
Right. Read the headers or just like listen to your mom or just like listen to common sense. Just everything everyone's told you throughout your life. Listen to that. And then,
Also, yeah, like I said before, these tips kind of are like the morals of children's stories. Like
any fable you've read about like tell the truth, clean up after yourself.
I recommend you guys a little book. It's called Aesop's Fables.
Right. Check that out.
You read that for about 10 minutes. And I think you pretty much got it.
Right. Just like you know that scene in Full House when the sad music would play and you're about to learn a lesson? Just that.
Yeah.
Just apply that into your life.
Very special episode. One of those episodes like the Cosby Show or some shit that's about drugs and the end is like the 5 minutes just a PSA.
Right. They all break character. Love that when we really try to do
in the 80s, they would just break character and then the Transformers would be like, if anybody ever brings a gun to your school, make sure you alert a parent or a teacher immediately.
I do want to see that like in the late, I want to see the late teen version of that. Like I want to see like a Nick at Night show, but they have to deal with like their son joining ISIS. If any of your friends buy a ticket to Syria, be sure to check out. Like I do want to see. Well, Mom, it just seemed like the right thing to do. You know? He's like over Skype.
Yeah. Oh yeah! Now that Tom Hanks has this, this is gonna blow up.
Oh, Tom Hanks.
That's.
Tom, do you think that that's like gonna hit the Oval Office?
If this kills,
they're gonna interrupt whatever meeting Donald Trump has. Like Tom Hanks currents the coronavirus, and they're like, he's gonna click a button.
If this kills Tom Hanks, you might go to war with China. it might be a global nuclear. If Fox News is able to run the story in a month, China kills Tom Hanks.
You understand if Tom Hanks is dead, we're going to be crying like they did for that like North Korean dictator that died. We're going to be in the streets holding pictures, like holding the Forrest Gump movie, like crying and screaming. Dude, Tom Hanks has corona.
How the fuck does Tom Hanks have?
Yeah, because you feel like that dude is so insulated.
Yeah, how do you have
it? Yeah, like, dude.
Sorry, guys, we're getting very.
Yeah, we're talking about the issues. We're talking about Jordan Peterson. I'm on full quarantine. Working from home.
They're in Australia, I think. I don't know if that's where they got it. I don't even know if that's right now.
It's in Australia. Oh, nowhere.
Oh, I guess they're making an Elvis Presley movie, and they were in Australia, and so they got it.
Jesus.
I think it's the same. Like pretty much everyone like working on the movie got it.
I think they're gonna stop making. Like I said before, they stopped TV shows. They'll probably stop making movies there as well.
At what point is it like society canceled? Because it seems like I'm at a point, so I don't know where the listeners are at. I'm like working from home as of fucking today. I'm in my house. Comedy shows are being canceled.
Yeah, shows being canceled. That sucks, man. Like that's
so we can't even go out, share weird thoughts. The pod is all that's left. Pretty much it, man. The movies are gone.
This does feel like it feels like this is like a radio broadcast.
Yeah,
Cole is in a bunker. Right, we're in this bunker. We're just putting it up. We're like, if anyone cares.
You know, like that part in those type of like survival movies where just one guy's always like broadcasting. Like, any survivors, please tune in. We're trying to gather
Will Smith and I go up to the radio tower at 9 a.m. every day and I'm like, day 468.
Yeah.
Found some cereal. Yeah. This is a log.
We're
going
to have to find some sort of refuge and just invite See You and Help listeners to hide out for our last days.
We finally get the number one podcast with only like 10 listeners.
Yeah.
Because that's all that's left.
People are like stuck in their homes just listening to us and repeat. Be like, yeah, that was kind of a funny statement there. They're coughing to death.
I don't know. Say it's like a post-apocalyptic Mad Max world. I'll still do stand-up.
Yeah.
It's like seven people.
Dude, there was a court gesture in medieval times. That's what I'm saying. People are like, what, are you going to, with climate change kind of potentially ruining the planet, are you going to quit comedy? I'm like, no, I'm going to work on having the type five to impress the militia leader in my heart attack. Because I have no other skills. All right, there's nothing I'm going to impress people with. I'll be the funny dude. Other people will go out and hunt and execute people.
No, the mutants killing people? I'm going to be doing jokes about that, and that's what they're going to keep me around. I'm fucking funny. We're going to be sitting here doing jokes, eating your fucking arm.
I can't tell. Is this the radiation poisoning killing me, or is it my wife? Am I right, guys? God. Man. No, it is a very, very scary times, and that's why...
What do you think is going to infect more people? The coronavirus or Jordan Peterson?
We'll talk about a disease.
Honestly, Jordan Peterson has been Peterson has been a pandemic for a while.